Perfect. Hi, hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, and we are live in a living color. This episode titled, it's number six, by the way, 24 times two, and it ain't just me that runs this whole daggum thing. I got a few friends and neighbors, if you will. Let's bring them in. Let's start off by talking about the best man, our senior open wheel specialist guru and all-around beard specialist. I mean, look at that. I mean, that's just big league. I mean, that's just big league right there. A little lettuce going as well. It's just nice. Colin, how in the world are you doing this evening, my friend?
I'm doing good. A little bit of technical difficulties doing this on my cell phone today. Hopefully the sound and the picture is good. But we've had a fantastic 2 weeks since Formula One started. Now it's coming back this weekend. We had a great NASCAR race. We're going to have a better NASCAR race probably this weekend. F1's coming back. We have a lot to talk about. And we're doing this live. We're live, baby. We're live and in living color.
Oh yeah, live and in concert, boys and girls. You know who else is live and in concert? Our show creator himself, the man up north. He just killed a moose before he got on the air. So how are you, my friend Adam Carabine? My favorite, well, second favorite Canadian. How are you?
I'll take it. There's a lot of great Canadians out there. Happy to be your second favorite. I'm doing well, thank you. Hope you guys are well as well. And we got lots to get to today, so I'll let you keep going.
All right. Well, you know who really makes the brains of this whole thing work? You know, the one that makes it happen, the one that drags me to where I need to be at all times. I'm talking, of course, about our producer, my better half. Boy, did I outkick my coverage. Recent birthday celebratee. I'm talking about producer Peggy. See what I did there? See what I did there? You share a birthday, madam, with the late, great Lee Petty. So, unfortunately, as is fitting for Lee, you're coming in second there. But how are you?
I'm good. Ryan Blaney finished second.
And so did you in the birthday sweepstakes. So it works out. It works out. It's just fine. But, yes, Ryan Blaney finished second. There's a lot to get to. I don't want to waste too much time. Peggy, we're going to say goodbye to you for just a moment. For just a moment. Because there's some big, big news that we need to chat about in a hurry. Because I don't know if anyone noticed today, if you woke up and, you know, checked Bob Pocker's Twitter or Jatesky, we love those. You can find some of our articles on there during the whole gaggle of links. Big news. Adam Carabine, I'm going to let you tell about it in full, but Hendrick Motorsports got the hammer dropped. Go into more detail about that. And Denny Hamlin even didn't leave unscathed, but go into more detail about Hendrick. Let's talk about him at the moment. Take it away, my good buddy.
Well, I think before we do, we should get our graphic up. This is time for happy hour headlines.
Look at that neon. Look at that. Just beautiful. Go ahead. Boom.
It's beautiful. NASCAR has penalized Hendrick Motorsports and the colleague number 31. 100 points each. 100 owner points each, $100,000 to each crew chief, and a 4-race suspension to each crew chief. Now, there is a little wrinkle in there because of the Chase Elliott injury. Chase Elliott has not been docked 100 driver points, but the number 9 car has been docked the 100 owner points. And because Josh Berry is not running for cup points, he does not get any penalty either. But so yeah, other than that, yeah, we got big penalties. This is the biggest like collective penalty to be sent down to one team at a time ever in NASCAR history. And both Hendrick and colleague are expected to appeal this decision. So I can get into a little bit of what Hendrick has said about why they're appealing, but maybe I'll get you guys to break down what you think so far first.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, this is I don't want to overstate it, but it's a pretty monumental day. I mean, the biggest penalty probably ever sanctioned against one team, and it happens to be probably NASCAR's A team, if you will. I don't know, kind of the, if there was a team that's a face in NASCAR, we would agree, I believe, that it's Hendrick Motorsports, as they said it now, 293 wins. This is monumental. We do need to put it in context that the drivers really kind of get the short end of the stick here. In today's world, and Colin, I'll kick it to you in just a moment, but in today's world, it's my opinion that the drivers have very little to do with what goes on in the setup of the car. Yes, a couple of suggestions, don't get me wrong, but the days of them, you know, hey, put this part on, unless you are an underfunded team, and they are out there. But a organization like Hendrick Motorsports, look, the driver's just kind of whistling Dixie, putting in what they like for that track, and I mean verbally. But it's a bad look when, as an organization, drivers aside, I mean, you no doubt tried to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. And the drivers, unfortunately, get the short end of the stick of it in some ways. Colin, you know what I mean? Like, it's an organizational issue for sure. And the drivers are part of the organization. But the crew chiefs and the crew really screwed the pooch here. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, certainly. They put them in a no-win situation. And as the more technical guy on the Racing Refresh team, let's go over what happened. The NASCAR confiscated all the Hendrick team's louvers and the colleague 31 car louvers. Those are the vents at the top of the hood. Air goes through the grill, and that hot air actually goes up through those louvers over the hood. It kind of dissipates air, creates more drag on the car, which allows the closer racing. So those are all confiscated on Friday's practice. They were replaced, and they raced on Sunday with no issues. And now finally this penalty comes down. Knowing what NASCAR has become, and these are sort of kit cars now, you can't touch anything on these cars outside of track bar wedge, you know, spring adjustments for the drivers. You can't touch anything on these cars. And when you do, NASCAR is going to penalize you and penalize you hard. I have no problems with the penalty. I know they're aggressive. Really suspending 4 crew chiefs is something that NASCAR has never seen before, probably will never see again, because teams are going to be looking at it as kind of, this is what can happen. This is the, I guess NASCAR, in lack of a better term, they had to make an example of somebody, and making an example of Hendrick Motorsports is, I think, the biggest thing you can possibly do. So in my mind, this is a huge thing for Hendrick Motorsports, but Josh Berry and Chase Elliott were not really affected themselves because they're not in the car. Josh Berry isn't eligible for the Cup Series Championship, which I think is fair. But, you know, looking at the standings, this puts the 5 team, the 24 team, if they're going to go for an owner's championship this year, right now, BJ McLeod is ahead of Kyle Larson in championship owner standings right now. So this is a monumental day in NASCAR history. This is something that will be in the history books years and years from now. I was stunned when I saw it. I didn't think it was going to be that detrimental towards Hendrick.
Well, look, we can always get loud from a cloud. I do want to point out and say, hi, Ryan. How you doing, brother? Just saw you a bit ago for some nice chicken wings at a lovely establishment that doesn't sponsor this program, but should. So hello, Ryan. Thank you for tuning in. We're talking the Hendrick penalties. All right. Adam, I want to come to you. You do a program on this show here and there. No stupid questions. So this kind of feels up that alley. Let's not forget that Hendrick is going to is already filing an appeal of these sanctions. I believe personally they will get it reduced. Will it still be a significant penalty? Yes. But I don't believe that these particular quote unquote, for lack of a better term, charges will stand, if you will, if you know what I mean. I don't believe they'll stand because the appeal process in every sport usually is, all right, we're going to fight it out until we come to some sort of compromise between what you gave us and what we want. And I believe that is going to happen in full scale with NASCAR because, again, this is Hendrick Motorsports. This is, you know, the A team, quote unquote. And I mean, all kidding aside, there are some perks that come with that. Ryan says, huge penalty handed down to HMS. Shocked NASCAR did it, but glad they did and hope it sticks. NASCAR needs to be consistent with things this season. We all would love to see more consistency one way or the other from NASCAR on rules. We all can agree on that. So, Adam, let's answer that question for me. How do you see the appeal process going? Any idea what that looks like? And don't you think that's going to – don't you think they'll get it reduced to some extent?
I think Hendrick has a compelling case, at the very least. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this year, or I guess starting last year with the next gen car, now NASCAR has basically got a single source supplier that gives the parts out to all the teams. So that, you know, in the past, teams were making their own parts for the cars and they just had to meet certain specifications. And now NASCAR is basically saying you have to get them from this one source. And so what Hendrick is saying is that the louvers that were provided to them in this instance did not match the design submitted by the manufacturer and approved by NASCAR. So they're saying we had to tinker with it because it did not actually match what we had decided or been approved before the season. They're saying there's documented, inconsistent, and unclear communication by the sanctioning body specifically related to louvers. And they're saying recent comparable penalties issued by NASCAR have been related to issues discovered during post-race. And so what they're kind of trying to argue is that because they never actually raced with these quote-unquote illegal louvers, that the penalty shouldn't be as severe. Do I think NASCAR is going to kowtow to that? I'm not sure. I look back to last year when Brad Keselowski was also docked 100 points for, I can't remember exactly what part it was, but they had tinkered with something last year. So
he was messing with wheels.
Wheels. That's what it was. So
at one point last year, they even got my beloved Petty GMS for a big time penalty.
Right. So there is a precedent for this. I honestly, off the top of my head, I can't remember if Brad Keselowski and RFK Racing appealed it, but the 100 points definitely stuck for the number six team, Brad Keselowski, last year. So there is precedent for this to stay at 100 points. And I think depending on, I don't know what exactly happened, but if it's found that they did illegally tinker with these parts, then I think the 100 points is a fair penalty. It is harsh, but I think, you know, they want to make sure that no one is cheating, essentially. So I don't know. I'm okay with it if it sticks, but it's really going to come down to whether the single source manufacturer messed up when they sent it off to Hendrick in the first place.
Allow me to play devil's advocate here. And again, I'm not taking one side or the other on if they did these things and truly modified it. Yes, the penalty ought to stay. But allow me to play devil's advocate. Let's just have this conversation. The reality is this. NASCAR is well known from it does not matter what. There's a reason the rules are what the rules are now. Because for decades, since the invention of this sport, it's all about going that extra mile and taking what advantages you can. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know, and it stinks, but I mean, there's whole documentaries on Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham. You know, Richard Petty told Dave Moody at Daytona this year, sometimes we would do something so obvious that they'd catch that and not catch what we were really trying to do. I mean, this whole sport is well known for we're going to push the edge, try to take the advantage. And I mean, that sucks, but the old saying is, and again, I'm not saying it's okay morally, but the old adage in sports is if you ain't cheating, you ain't flying, because you're trying to get every single advantage you can. What's my point? My point is, at the end of the day, they did get caught. But at the end of the day, they also got caught before they actually raced with it. Therefore, it did not impact their performance. Now, should you be penalized for attempting? Sure, absolutely. If you get caught cheating on the test even before the test is taken, you're going to probably lose some points on that bad boy. But it should be factored in that they did not end up racing with it. This is why I believe the crew chief penalty should absolutely stand. I believe it should absolutely stand. But I'm not so sure. Look, that's truth right there. We could get t-shirts on that bad boy. That's facts. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, don't matter. Sports a lot like life. It ain't fair. So I do think we have to factor that in. And I think, and Colin, I'm going to ask you this question if you think I'm right. Because they never actually raced with these with these differences, with these advantages, don't you think that's good enough case to, I don't know, knock it down to, I'm spitballing here, 75 or 50 points instead of 100? Because at the end of the day, this isn't a Deflategate situation where it, you know, was certainly used in quote-unquote game. That didn't happen here. So don't you think that's a good argument for Hendrick to make in the appeal process?
It's a great argument, but I will say, Logan, I disagree with the fact that you're cheating. Yeah, I do agree. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, especially in the sport of NASCAR where, you know, drivers like Jeff Burton, Dale Jr. said, you know, if my car is legal, I don't want to race it. You know, I want the best you can bring to a racetrack every single week. But Hendrick knew the rules, and they brought those louvers on that car with the intention to race them at Phoenix. There's not proof that they were going to take them off, but they were on the car as they unloaded off the hauler. So that proves to me there was intent for them to race that car, those louvers. So yes, the penalty should be severe because of the intent that we saw.
I agree, but should it be reduced?
If I can step in here for a second,
I think so.
Someone did ask something similar to Bob Pockris on Twitter, and he said that NASCAR considers that once a car is in the garage, it must have legal parts and pieces. All race equipment included, but not limited to vehicles, vehicle parts, equipment, and or fuel is subject to inspection by NASCAR at any time, manner, and location. So the idea that you could maybe have illegal parts on there and then not actually intend to race them, I think goes against what the rule book says.
Well, I do think they probably intended to race with them. I'm not even going to sit here and try to tell you on that.
Yeah.
But there is that old adage, forgiveness, permission, right? Well, I was going to try it, but it didn't really end up happening. You know, is your mom more mad at you if you were going to play with the bass in the house and you didn't? Or is she mad when the bass gets actually busted? I'm just asking. So here's my question to you.
I have a question too, but I'll let you go first, Logan. I'm sorry.
I wanted to know, how long do you think it'll be before we hear on this appeal process? And then I know we got to wrap it up and get to Denny Hamlin and move along here.
I could see it taking a week or two.
Yeah, it's not going to be before Atlanta.
Yeah. Something that just came to me that I thought might be interesting is I know that NASCAR does get criticized often for playing favorites with some of the higher profile teams. There's been, you know, accusations that they're a little quicker to throw caution when it benefits someone like Chase Elliott or, you know, some of these higher profile drivers. Does that factor into the decision making, and does that either make them less likely to uphold this suspension, or does that, you know, do they want to show that they're not being biased and really stand firm?
I'll take this first one, and then Colin, you have it. This is why, yeah, I believe it will be reduced, because I'm a firm believer that NASCAR plays favorites. And before any one of the keyboard warriors go, well, that's not good integrity for the sport, you are correct, sir or madam. But the reality is every sport plays favorites. If you watch a baseball game, a veteran hitter like Joey Votto is going to get more calls than the rook. Tom Brady is well known to have gotten more calls because he's Tom Brady, as does Aaron Rodgers. Joe Burrow was literally told his rookie year, you're not old enough to get that call by an official. That's unfortunately a way of life in sports. So it's not like it's a sports issue. It shouldn't be that way. Don't get me wrong. For integrity purposes, it shouldn't be that way. But you are deluding yourself, in my view, if you think that doesn't play a factor. I know Larry Mack said a few weeks ago on his XM radio show that he liked to believe that Cody Ware and Chase Elliott would be treated the exact same. Well, I would like to believe I'm a 10, all right, but I'm a California 4. Like, that's just the truth of it. We can pretend that it would be equal, but unfortunately, I don't believe in sports it is equal. I think every sport has history of favoritism, and I think NASCAR has run rampant with it for decades. I mean decades. 50s, 60s, 70s. I could give you exact stories, but we ain't got the time. Colin, what say you?
See, I'm gonna play the opposite of Logan. I think they should stand firm. NASCAR in the past has been inconsistent with cautions, inconsistent with penalties. We saw William Byron at Texas last year during the playoffs absolutely wrecked Denny Hamlin under caution. They fined him playoff points, and then Hendrick appealed, and then they took away the playoff points, and it was just a monetary fine. But you wrecked someone under caution. I mean, if Kyle Busch wasn't appealed when he wrecked Ron Hornaday at Texas under caution, if he wasn't suspended for the rest of the truck season, he appealed it and just got a monetary fine. I mean, he tried to kill Ron Hornaday at Texas. So this is black and white rules of the next-gen car. You can and cannot do this. Hendrick failed this test along with the Kaulig car, which is weird. It was the 31 failed and the 16 didn't. I don't understand why that, but that's a conversation for another time. But NASCAR needs to stand firm that, say, hey, if any team messes with any parts of these cars from any supplier, we will come down hard on you. And I think NASCAR made the right call.
Look, I agree, probably the right call. Ryan says HMS will probably get reduced in some form because of their name. I want them to stand firm, but I think they will reduce it. I just hope the playoff point deduction stands. All right. We'll see what happens on that. We, of course, will keep you updated on this weekly show. And don't be afraid to check out our socials, Race and Refresh. Check us out, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow us, please. We want to grow this thing. We can only do that as much as you allow us to. Do me a great favor. Follow us there. So let's move it along a little bit. More penalties to talk about. This time, old Denny Hamstring himself. That's right, FedEx number 11. You know, the man with the good PJs, according to some commercials. I'm talking about Denny Hamlin. He gets deducted 25 points. Go into more detail about that penalty, Adam, and then we'll chat about it.
Yeah, at the end of the race in Phoenix last weekend, just on Sunday, there was a wreck kind of on the last lap between Denny Hamlin and Ross Chastain, old friends. And on Denny's podcast this week, which usually comes out on Mondays, he pretty much announced that he did it on purpose. And NASCAR looked into it, and suddenly he gets slapped with a 25-point penalty and a $50,000 fine, which he has announced already on Twitter that he is not going to appeal. So he's digging in and going for it. So does this mean Denny and Ross are now even? I have no idea. I can't imagine that this is the end of the Denny-Ross saga, but that's the penalty that came down today.
He said Saga. Listen to that Canadian come out. I thought he was talking about Bob Saget for a second. R.I.P. Ryan says, look at all at this. All my favorites in quotations weren't making the news in way of penalties. He's not really a Denny Hamlin guy. I'll let you know. So, look, Denny, you schmuck, you fool. You pulled a Dale Jr. Why would you – if you – we all kind of know you did it, but I don't know why you'd go on your podcast on Dirty Mo Media and be like, yeah, it was me. Boy, you talk about, I mean, you talk about, oh, I stole that candy bar. By the way, you can come get it at this address. That's, look, I think it's a good call by NASCAR. At the end of the day, here, and I was talking to Ryan about this at lunch. Here's where I want more consistency. This is what drives me nuts. It states in the rule book you got to give 100% effort all the time. So you can't be manufacturing the results, essentially. And we see year after year in the playoffs, people go, well, don't pass him. He's got this many points to get here. No, none of that. I'm so glad this penalty came out. I hope they're consistent with it this year. Because at the end of the day, look, this is a case of Denny Hamlin drives for Joe Gibbs. Let me just come out and tell you, folks. This is a case of where you're a spoiled driver with a bunch of money and can afford to ruin a part. That's what that is. When you literally go, I don't care about my top 10 day or my top 15 day, I'm going to finish on the back end of the lead lap because I just can. I mean, you better thank your lucky stars that you drive for Joe Gibbs Racing. I hope he went to bed that Sunday and said, man, it's so good I drive for a very well-funded team. Because you think BJ McLeod could do that? No. You think Cody Ware could do that? I would bet Legacy Motor Club can't do that. I'd bet a few other teams can't do that. But because you drive for one of the biggies, oh, we can just go ahead and ruin people's day. We can go ahead and ruin our own day. And it's for kicks. Look, I'm all for a good rivalry. But I thought this was such a Busch League move by Denny Hamlin. And again, it proves that, you know, he in that moment, he was behaving like a spoiled, pissed off teenager. Colin, any thoughts?
I guess Logan and I are just going to disagree for this entire show, because there was post-race video where Hamlin and Ross Chastain were both talking at the end of it. And on Hamlin's podcast, it said they squashed the beef. They made a truce. And a couple of years ago, if you remember, NASCAR said, boys, have at it. Boys, police yourselves on the racetrack. We don't care. Just police yourselves. You guys can take care of it yourselves.
Sure.
And I guess NASCAR's not letting them do that anymore. I feel like the official boys have at it are gone. You talk about manufacturing races. Chase Elliott in 2021, 2022 intentionally slowed down at Bristol, held Kevin Harvick up, and gave the win to Kyle Larson. NASCAR did nothing.
I agree. They should have.
Yeah, but they did nothing. So we're talking about inconsistencies with the last thing. Now they show inconsistency with this one. And it wasn't even for the win. It was just for a top 10 finish. They would just move on to Atlanta. Who cares? But because this is Denny Hamlin and this is Ross Chastain, and this was pretty much the entire storyline outside of the championship picture for the entirety of 2022. It was the feud of the year. I mean, WWE couldn't even write a script that good. I got to be honest with you, Logan, and you'd appreciate that. You know I'm right. But boys have at it is officially dead. And I have problems with, did NASCAR make a penalty based on what they saw on the track, or did they make a penalty based on what Denny Hamlin said on his podcast? Because that goes in like free speech issues, kind of stuff like that. And that had a big problem. I had a big problem with that. So I disagree with that penalty. I think the beef is solved. They talked it out like gentlemen, and let's move on to Atlanta. Let's move on to the rest of the season.
Hold on. The rule book states that you got to give 100%. You got to give 100%. So I agree. I know they've been wrong before. I get that. You're right. So because they've been wrong every other time, let's let this one go too. Where's the line?
Well, dang.
I'm just saying. Adam, you get the final word on this.
I think, you know, they need to start policing this kind of stuff. And, you know, whenever they do start, someone's going to gripe that it's inconsistent from the past. And that's fair. But yeah, as long as they keep it consistent moving forward. I just don't know if I believe that the I don't, that's funny.
I love that comment. That was great.
I don't know if I believe that Ross and Denny are all patched up and everything's good again. So I think this is going to be meant to deter some future actions, detrimental, if you will.
Well, we appreciate you, Ryan, for commenting. What I don't appreciate is a spoiled driver who drives for a very well-funded team, clearly not realizing how lucky he is. So let's go ahead and ruin his own day. All right, with that, speaking of spoiled, we're spoiled with great videos from our gal pal, Crystal. She's got another one this week. Let's kick it to her. I know she's got some Phoenix things to not chat about per se, but just for you to take a look at. This is an interesting one. Crystal, take it away.
Thank you.
Well, it looks like some lovely shots there from Crystal at Phoenix. Looks, oh, they were vibing at one point. That drum beat there. I mean, they were flat vibing. All right, but we got to keep moving it along. Looks like Crystal had a bang up time. Thank you, Crystal, for all you do as always. Looks like it was a blast. All right, but now it's time for our weekend recap. Oh yeah, weekend review right there. Looky there, looky there, looky there. Oh, it looks good. Colin, let's chat. We saw him in Crystal's video. Sammy Smith got it done in his first. He won his first Xfinity race. You know, there was a lot of picks, but nobody had Sammy Smith. Wonder if he ever gets confused with the Stay With Me guy. It's a big league team. There were a lot of picks. Sammy Smith wasn't one of them. What'd you think?
Honestly, I think the Xfinity race was the race of the weekend so far. It seems like NASCAR, when they go to these low downforce, high, when they go to these short tracks with the Xfinity car having more horsepower, lower downforce, they just put on a hell of a show. And Sammy Smith, you know, he was killing in an ARCA. He was killing in an ARCA East before that. He's a big short track guy who deserves all the accomplishments that he will get in his future career. I hope he has a long career. He has the talent to do it. He certainly has the money behind him as well, with Pilot and Flying J coming along with him as well. And you know, he beat Kyle Busch at Phoenix, which isn't an easy thing to do, but Kyle Busch did have an accident that took him out of the top 10 at the end of the race. But, you know, Sammy Smith absolutely killed it. And with Noah Gregson and Ty Gibbs now out of the Xfinity series into the Cup series now, I honestly think you're going to see a lot more parity this year in the Xfinity series that you have seen in past years. I think it's wide open for the championship right now, even though we're four races in. Long way to go, but there's probably about 10 to 15 guys on any average weekend who can step up and win a race. So glad to see the Xfinity series having an absolute fantastic start to the season.
I agree that they are. I would say Austin Hill is still my favorite at the moment for the championship, but it, like you said, it's way early. All right, let's move it along to the Cup race. William Byron goes back-to-back. That's why this episode is called 24 times 2. It's been a long time since we've seen the 24 team on a roll like this. It was another case of a late caution kind of changing things. For a while, it was the Kevin Harvick and Friends show. For a while, it looked like Kyle Larson might have a shot there. And then next thing you know, that young man, Willie B, comes through again, kind of clutch, you know, pardon the pun, overtime time, ice water running through his veins. What'd you think of that late caution? What do you think of William Byron getting the win? And what'd you think of the new package at Phoenix?
So we'll start with the late caution. I mean, it would have been a caution on lap four, lap 40. It was just a caution with four to go that happened. I don't think I have a problem with that. I know there's a lot of controversy at the end. It was a single car spin, but he did blow a tire and he was throwing debris on the racing surface, even though it was on the dog leg. So absolutely kudos for NASCAR to do that. But, you know, I think Dale Jr. said it the best, Phoenix, go to Phoenix. The Phoenix before the reconfiguration was good. I preferred that more to what we see now. But it's not a short track. As much as we like to call it a short track, it's not. It's just it's New Hampshire with better personality. That's really what it is. I mean, you're not really going to see the short track package really – have an effect until we go to Martinsville, because the spring race last year at Martinsville was absolutely dog water versus what we saw in the fall with their new package. So hopefully things are better with Willie B. This is Chevy's fourth win so far to start the year. They're firing on all eight cylinders right now, that Chevy camp. And there's no team right now that I think can beat the Hendrick guys on pure speed. I think they have the class of the field. And then you have the Joe Gibbs and 23-11 combo with Reddick and Christopher Bell bringing up the rest of that top five. So it's them, and then probably two steps below, it's Toyota. And Ford has kind of been nowhere to be seen so far except Kevin Harvick. So meh for Phoenix. I hate that we're going to go back in the fall. Knowing what we saw in the spring race at Phoenix, the type of racing we're going to get, knowing we're going to get that same type of racing in the fall, It makes me wish we'd have Homestead as the championship finale or Las Vegas, something better than this track.
Yeah, I got to agree. I'm a believer. They should rotate the championship race to some mile and a half and 2 milers. I know that weather plays a factor. Look, I don't think we saw everything this short package is going to be because Phoenix is, I don't know, but Phoenix is going to Phoenix, right? So it's just tough. Ryan Hill says, best thing about Phoenix is the dog leg. That's about it. Kind of agree. Phoenix is just kind of ho-hum. Nothing, like, there was nothing horrible about this race, but there, it just doesn't produce great racing under the current configuration and the current car. And it just, I'm not saying take it off the schedule. I am saying it's not worthy being the championship race. Because it's a great market. They sell well there, if not out every time. They need to keep it on the schedule. But it doesn't need to be the championship race. So I think there's a lot to be desired there. Look, it kind of is what it is. Like I've said before, not every NASCAR race is going to be a barn burner classic. The last 2 weeks have been a little ho-hum for some. And that's, you know, you're going to have that in a 38-week season. Not every race is going to be, you know, a bang up job of, oh my God, look at all that. You know, that's just the way it goes. You get blown out in baseball, football, basketball, what have you. Not every game of March Madness this weekend is going to be lights out. There's going to be a couple of real stinkers. Not to say that Phoenix and Vegas were, it's just that they, you know, they weren't exactly the most thrilling races. All right, let's keep moving it along. Let's bring Adam Carabine back in here to tell us a little bit more about NHRA this weekend. Adam, talk to us, recap that for us, would you?
Yes, yeah. This weekend was the season opener for the NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series. They had the Emily Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals down in Gainesville, Florida. And the top four, which are like the premier series of drag racing, we just had winners here. We have in the top fuel category, we had Mike Salinas beating Steve Torrance with a miles per hour of 330.31. It's pretty fast. The funny car, we had Matt Hagen defeating J.R. Todd. In the pro stock category, we had Troy Coughlin Jr. beating Mason Magaha or Magaha, I've heard. Either way, I'm probably saying it wrong. And then in the pro stock motorcycle category, Gage Herrera beat out Angie Smith. So it was a busy weekend. They had lots of driving in straight lines down in Gainesville, Florida, and they are off this upcoming weekend. So we'll get back to NHRA in a few weeks.
Yeah, I believe they'll be heading out to Arizona in a few weeks. Our founder out there doing his thing and you know, breathing in all that nitro. So that has been our weekend recap. Now it is time. You remember it. You might love it. If you've seen any incarnation of the show, we've done a thing called Pit Road Picks here and there for several years. It's time to bring that back for at least one more week. Hit the graphic for me. It's time for Pit Road Picks. Oh yeah, looky there. We've upgraded. We've upgraded Beyonce style over here. This is big league. All right, so let's do it. I'm going to bring in our beautiful, beautiful producer Peggy, who I call Peter. Let's bring her in. She's going to play in this game. I mean, look at those brows, people, on fleek. Anywho, let's go ahead. Adam, I believe you're going to give the questions this week. You guys are going to do a little rotate, kind of pass the basketball, per se. Hit us with it.
All right, so we got five questions this week. First up, will William Byron go back-to-back-to-back and win his third in a row?
All right, who do you want to start there?
We'll start with Colin here.
The track record, it looks like, yes, he did win the spring event at Atlanta last year, but it is a super speedway. I mean, Willie B is very fast in super speedways. But there's a lot more people in contention this week than in general weeks. Yes, Hendrick does have overall speed, but the super speedway kind of cancels that out. So I'm going to go no, we get a new winner this year.
Shall we go to producer Peggy next?
I'm also going to go no, because I just feel like that'd be really hard to do.
Logan.
Look, it ain't 1967, folks. Richard Petty's record of 10 in a row is safe. I'm going to go no.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you there. Too much parity in the Cup Series right now, or not too much, but certainly a lot more than the olden days. So I don't see it happening, but he's certainly got a shot. Although with some new louvers in that car, maybe he will be in the very back. Who knows? our second question today is for the Xfinity Series. Will Austin Hill win this weekend since Atlanta now behaves like a mini super speedway? We'll go back to Colin first.
He's certainly the favorite as he's won one of the two events so far at Atlanta Motor Speedway. He won at Daytona to go back-to-back in 2022 and 2023. He's certainly probably the best super speedway racer in the Xfinity Series right now. But just like Willie B, it's going to be hard to win multiple in a row. He's not Earnhardt. He's not Earnhardt Jr. He's not Jeff Gordon yet at super speedways, but he's not going to get it done this week.
Peggy, go for it.
I'm going to go yes. Just cause.
All right, Logan.
Yeah, I think he's got the lucky horseshoe of his hind end per se. I think he's got super speedways figured out. I think he gets it done this week again. He might not be Gordon Earnhardt, Dale Jr., any of them yet, but we don't know that, to be quite frank with you. We don't know one way or the other. So I'm going to say yes. RCR continues their hot streak in the Xfinity Series, and Austin Hill continues to be the quote unquote king of the hill for a little while.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree. I think Austin Hill not only is amazing at super speedways, but he also already has two wins on the season. He won at Las Vegas, which is not a super speedway. Clearly, whatever the crew chief is doing there with the cars, they're doing something right. So I think he's the one to beat this weekend. Question three is about Ryan Blaney, producer Peggy's favorite. Ryan Blaney has been on the struggle bus lately. Will he get a top five this weekend? Colin.
No, we talked about this last week about Kyle Petty saying that he's the Casey Kane of our generation. I'm not saying he's there yet as the Casey Kane of this generation, but he's certainly on his way with inconsistency. That 12 car should be the second best Penske car, and right now it's probably tied for the third. There's no second best at Penske. But Ryan Blaney will still be on the struggle bus leaving Atlanta. So I say he finishes top 20.
We'll go to producer Peggy next.
I say he does get a top five. That might be just hopeful thinking, but he is good at super speedways. So, and he finished second last week, even though that was not a super speedway. So I will say yes.
All right. And Logan.
He did finish second last week, and that was a nice momentum shifter. Yes, Ryan says top five last week for Blaney. That was a good run for a bad day for Penske overall. It was a rough day for Penske. They've had a shaky West Coast swing. I'm going to say no. As the classic song says, right now he's born under a bad sign. Nope. I'm going to say nah.
Yeah, I'm going to say he does, maybe some extra momentum after coming in second last weekend. And I was just double checking my little stats here. He is the seventh best super speedway racer in the field right now, which I guess doesn't place him in the top five, but I think he can beat out some of these other names. So, I say yes. Question number four. Sammy Smith wins his first Xfinity race last weekend. Will he get at least a top five this weekend? We'll go back to Colin. We'll do the same order each time. Why not?
I don't know. With him on restricted plates, he's fairly new to it, only being an ARCA, then the Xfinity Series. His number of starts isn't that great, and he didn't do a great job at Daytona either. So for him, I still think he has a lot to learn. The Xfinity car is a completely brand new monster than compared to the ARCA car. Double horsepower, less drag. It's completely different. So I'm going to say no, but I will say he does have a good run.
Peyton.
I'm going to say no.
That's a big negatory Ghost Rider for me. I just don't see it back to reality Slim Shady style this week.
You know, I was going to say no too, but then the three of you all said no. So I'm going to change my answer and say yes, just because I think he's in good equipment. And so, sure, I don't know. I'm saying yes just to be contrarian. And then our final question for Pit Road Picks this week. Kevin Harvick has the most wins at Atlanta of the remaining active drivers. Will he get a top five this weekend?
No, it's not the same Atlanta that he dominated on in the past. This is a completely brand new monster for him. Statistically speaking, super speedways haven't been that kind to Kevin Harvick. In my recollection, maybe I might be wrong, I might be right, but he only has maybe two or three wins on the super speedway in his entire career. So I'm going to say he doesn't get his fourth this weekend.
Peyton. I'm going to say yes, because I believe he does have one win on the new Atlanta. I might be wrong.
I'm going to say negatory. Comparing this Atlanta to the old Atlanta is like comparing MGK to before Eminem and after Eminem. It might be the same thing technically, but it sure don't look it. So I just don't see it. So no, I don't think a top five. I think them days are over. He did dominate the old Atlanta, and we should always remember that. But this ain't your daddy's Atlanta anymore.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the two winners at New Atlanta were William Byron and Chase Elliott. So Kevin Harvick has not won at New Atlanta yet. And while his like average finish at super speedways is not terrible, yeah, I don't know. With only three wins over the course of his very long career, I'm going to say no as well. I don't think he pulls it off. Yeah. So that's going to wrap up Pit Road Picks for this week. I think producer Peggy and I are going to go hide while Logan continues on the show here.
All right, let's do this thing. Bye-bye. Back bye-bye. To the stars. All right. Bye-bye now. You know, like the old Toy Story.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. Or when Barbie, you know, leaving Toy Story. Bye-bye now. So, all right, it's time for our weekend preview. Hit that graphic for me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
All right, Colin, I'm going to give it to you. Well, hold on. I'm not going to give it to you. Let's talk about it. Atlanta changed the pit road entry ahead of next weekend's races. How do you think that's going to affect this week's race? They did a number on this deal.
So for people who don't know it, you now enter pit road turn three style. It's kind of like the Indy car when they raced at Homestead, you had to take the pit access road instead of actually going off the track on the apron into pit road. And I was on iRacing earlier today, racing at the new Atlanta. They didn't have that. So people, a lot of wrecks happened in that today. People getting on pit road, they didn't have that in iRacing. This is a safety issue, and I applaud NASCAR for doing that. But if you speed on pit road, or if you get a pit road penalty, or if you make a green flag stop, because you're going to slow down, you're at least losing minimum, maybe a lap and a half to two laps. So if something bad happens, we could see a guy end his day on pit road trying to get something. And the thing is, that pit road speed starts at turn three. Does pit road speed start at turn three? That's the commitment cone, that's the commitment cone for turn three, not pit road speed. So you do have time to slow down, but I think by the next time we go to Atlanta, they're going to fix it. I don't think this is going to stay around that long.
Yeah, this is one of those, let's just kind of see what happens. It feels like this Atlanta race is a guinea pig for this. I think it's going to wreak some havoc. I think we're going to see some issues. But it does add an interesting and dare I say, entertaining element to the race. So I'm not going to – let's see what happens. And that's going to be very, very interesting in my view to see how it plays out. Of course, the trucks and the Xfinity, they get to be the guinea pig on Saturday. Any quick picks for trucks and Xfinity, Mr. Colin Best? Ryan says pit road speed search right after the commitment line, I believe. So any quick picks for Xfinity and trucks? Any quick ones?
So I'm going to go John Hunter Nemechek in the trucks. No, he's not in the Truck Series. I'm going to go John Hunter Nemechek.
He is running the Truck Series this week.
Okay, so I'm going to go – sorry, I'll do John Hunter Nemechek for the Xfinity Series, but I'm going to do Ben Rhodes for the Truck Series.
All right, I'll take Matty D, who's shown himself to be all right at Super Speedways in the Truck Series. Certainly got that somewhat controversial win at Talladega with the, you know, who crossed the line first. I'll take him. And then, you know, on Saturday, I'll go with you. John Hunter, it feels like he's kind of hitting his groove in the Xfinity Series. He's not going to be too long down there, I think. We'll see what happens. Now, I am going to kick it to you entirely because there's a Grand Prix in Saudi Arabia to talk about. Tell us about it, my friend.
Yeah, so Formula One returns this Sunday at 9:55 Eastern on your local four-letter sports network. I don't like saying their name ever, but we'll get into that for another time. For round two of the 2023 FIA Formula One World Championship season, as we go to the fastest street circuit in Formula One history, the Jeddah Corniche Street Circuit in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. For the aptly named Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, Max Verstappen dominated the Bahrain Grand Prix just 2 weeks ago. Looks like the Max Verstappen Invitational for this weekend again, as he's the Red Bull, Team Red Bull and him are the class of the field. But there was breaking news earlier today that Charles Leclerc Ferrari will be given a 10-place grid penalty, as he's already threw his third ECU component on his engine. At the FIA regulation state, you only get two for the entire season. He's on his third, and it's only been one race so far. So he had one in winter testing that failed, and he had one that failed in Bahrain. If they need to replace that ECU in the future, he will be given another 10-place grid penalty later in the season. We don't know when that's going to happen, but it will happen eventually. But you'll read more about that in my weekend preview article for the F Formula One Grand Prix of Bahrain on racingrefresh.com on Friday. But my pick is going to be Max Verstappen again. Until otherwise, just say Max Verstappen is going to be the winner because Mercedes is behind. Sergio Perez is maybe a step behind. Aston Martin seems to be the hype train, all aboard the hype train for Aston Martin. And then for McLaren, I think they might show up in a tractor because they have no speed in their cars whatsoever. So going to be an exciting weekend. Hopefully we get more than three overtakes this weekend, because that's the amount of overtakes that we saw 2 weeks ago in Bahrain. So hopefully the race is a lot better, but you can catch all that on racingrefresh.com live on Friday morning. That article will be out.
Looking forward to it. Keep your eyes peeled. Racingrefresh.com. And of course, Colin will tell us all about it next week right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. But look, it's almost time to bring it home. And before we really do that, we got to do some Racing Refresh picks. Hit me with it. Hit me. Oh, yeah. Looky there. We're in the eye of the storm here, people. It's the Jet Dryer 500. All right. I want to bring Colin and Peggy back on in, and let's do this thing. Let's bring him back in here. Oh, yeah, there she is.
Well, I brought myself back, but you said Colin and Peggy.
Yeah, I'm already here, buddy.
Oh, well, Adam. I mean the Canadian.
Wait, if Adam's your second favorite Canadian, who's your first favorite?
Joseph Votto. Daniel Votto of the Cincinnati Reds. Right. Absolutely no question about it. There's nothing that Adam can do to even come close to Canada's greatest export.
You know, that's a close second. I can handle that. I'm all right with that.
All right.
My favorite Canadian is Alex Trebek.
Oh, good choice. Good choice. There are plenty of good Canadians to choose from, so I'm happy to be even in the conversation. I feel like the game's master a little bit today. I was doing pit road picks earlier, and now we're doing race and refresh picks. So I'll just give you
Pat Sajak. Let's do this thing.
Spin the wheel. Colin had a bad week. He had a good week. I'm just kidding. I'll recap from last week. Colin wins the week.
Yeah, Harvick. Yeah, I did it.
Woo! Colin picked Kevin Harvick, who came in fifth, but that was good enough to beat the rest of us.
Yeah,
and so that pretty much just ties us all up. We're all tied at one. 4 weeks in, we've all each got a win, which is kind of interesting. Our loser of the week gets to pick first, which is, of course, our good friend, Mr. Loganity Logan. So who are you picking for Atlanta?
Look, I know that last week left a lot to be desired for my pick. I get it, but I don't make this game. The Tyrant Canadian does. So I'm going to go with the pick that is a dark horse, but I think can get it done and certainly get me the win. Why not Corey LaJoie? This is a mini super speedway. Why not Corey LaJoie? Let's see if he can rebound for me and I can be the first to two.
Man, that was my pick.
Interesting choice. Very good. I get to pick next because my pick was not good last week either. Justin Haley. I'm sure he was just distracted with all this Louver talk. I am going to pick Michael McDowell for Atlanta. I know it's almost like a super speedway, and he's been pretty good at those lately, so I'll go there. Next up is producer Peggy. Who are you picking?
I'm going to pick Ross Chastain.
All right. And last but not least, Colin, you get to pick last because you won last week. Who are you taking?
So I've taken Austin Cindric, who is a proven super speedway winner, week one. I took Joey Logano. I already took Kevin Harvick, so I can't take him. I was going to take Corey LaJoie, and I also took Eric Jones. I'm trying to write these down so I don't pick her again. Dang, I was going to pick Corey LaJoie because he had such a good run in the summer race at Atlanta. But I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin. Picks up the first one of the year.
All right, there you go. Those are our Racing Refresh picks.
All right, Racing Refresh picks, and you say you know what that means, boys and girls. It's been another great episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, but every great episode has got to come to an end so we can get to the next one. So it's time for a little closing time. Oh, yeah, closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay on this link of StreamYard. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. Final words, Mr. Colin Best.
So it's always great to be here with you guys, and it's great to be here live for the first time in the 2023 season. Absolutely love it. So we'll continue to do this again. We've had a great show so far. But I don't know if you guys seen this. I'll post this on my social media. Saturday night was a very interesting time in my backyard. I'm here in Pensacola, Florida. And the ASA Superstars, the Southern Super Late Model Series, had a very interesting start here in Five Flags. Fire extinguishers were thrown at people. I don't know if you guys have seen this video. I will share this to my Twitter. But fire extinguishers were thrown at people. It was a great Saturday night shootout here in Pensacola. And if you haven't heard, if you're an iRacer, the Gen 4 Cup is now live on iRacing. If you don't know, iRacing made a mistake and gave the ARCA car, which is the 2009 Nationwide body, a 900 horsepower engine. And the whole community said, we want this. So guess what iRacing did? They gave it to us. The Gen 4 Cup is now live on iRacing. I did it. It's NASCAR the way God intended. Low downforce, high horsepower at Homestead, Miami. I was slipping and sliding, baby. But you know what? I came home third place just for you, Logan. Started last. Came in third place, and I was driving a Richard Petty STP car, Dodge Avenger, baby. It was, beautiful.
Oh, look, hey, slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding. Yes, sir, I like it a lot. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, and all hail the true king. Anywho, we got to keep wrapping this up. So, Adam, final words. Thank you, Ryan. I don't care if Team Penske bounces back, but if it makes you happy, that makes me root against it. So, Adam, what's your final words?
And I don't know if I can follow those final words from Colin, so I'm just going to say thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, at Racing Refresh.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, a woman that's never short on words is our producer, Peggy. What's your final words? Try to, you know, don't scare us now.
I'm going to throw a fire extinguisher at Logan if Ryan Blaney doesn't win this week.
Wow.
Is that like the old all that thing? I'm going to hit you in the head with that there flip-flop. That sort of thing. You got what I'm saying? Remember that skit? Any other final words, Peter, before we move on?
Nope.
All right. Well, in that case, it's my time to let it go. Look, thank you so much for watching. Ryan says I better take cover. Look, I'd be surprised if she can throw one. All right. She's not exactly Mrs. Strength. but we'll see what happens. We'll let you know. If I show up here with a black eye next Wednesday, I'll be like, well, I've been abused. All right. Anywho, it's been a lovely show. Ryan, thank you for tuning in. And again, please go follow us on our social media platforms. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. We're trying to provide great content for you. Our social media manager, Peggy's doing a lovely job on the reels. And with that, look, we'll see you at the next track. And my final words to you is you better keep an eye on those lures. Let me tell you, keep an eye. Don't want to get them too out of whack. Make sure everything's good on the highway. Lures are dangerous, people. That's what we found out. We'll see you next week right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. I'm gone.